Ladies and gentlemen, it's a Conference USA Report podcast, and we are live at the, the Omni Hotel in Frisco, just across the street from the Baylor Scott & White Sports and whatever center. Sports medicine and
sports.
Health.
Sports.
I'm here with Mr. Aldo Avina, who is from MeanGreenNation.com, sort of. What is the best way to introduce you here? It's like, how do you want to be introduced?
Mean Green Extraordinaire.
There you go. See, that's what I'm saying. That's it. Now you know why I was kind of hesitating. So as many of you know, I, Adam Martinez, do MeanGreenNation.com also. So we're here covering Conference USA Media Days. And we have some thoughts and some reactions to day one, Conference USA West edition. So we're going to get right into it. The favorite, the media's favorite, North Texas. I disagree a little bit with that. I have North Texas like somewhere third. Mm-hmm. I think I talked about this on the site in Conference USA Report. Why I think so. Basically, the defense, right? They have same coordinator, but they lose two starting linebackers, two starting corners. That's not good. Where do you have North Texas in the pecking order?
I think I've got, in the West, I've got them at number two.
That's not terrible. I don't think that's terrible. Yeah. They're picked first. I have them tied for third with UAB. That's where I got them. And my official CUSA report prediction. released with great fanfare in the middle of the night. All right. Moving on. Big crowd around South of Terrell, right? There's some speculation about him leaving. He got a raise. He's still there. New offensive coordinator, Bodie Reeder. Same defensive coordinator, but a lot of new faces on the defense. Basically, the skinny on them, they can probably score. Right, they scored a lot of points last season, scored a lot of points the year previous. Can they score as much as they need to win, because to make up for the defense being a little bit more bad?
Can they keep other people from scoring?
Yeah, so that's my big concern with them. Is that yours? I think you said...
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Keep people from running all over them.
Yes, that's number one.
When you're losing your linebackers, when you're losing some of that defensive depth.
And that's the Tech can run, Southern Miss can run, UAB loves to run, UTSA wants to run, Rice and UTEP would like to run. Yeah.
And Rice is going to be running a lot next year.
So, all right. Number two division. Southern Miss was picked second in this one. I also had them second. And a lot of that has to do with their bringing back a lot of defensive talent.
Yeah, a ton. I mean, most of their offense, most of their defense, I have them at number one because of that. They're top five in the nation for bringing back production.
When I look at it, I look at my tiebreaker sort of is quarterback play. And I think Jack Abraham, 73% accuracy, threw for like 2,000 yards last season.
In limited play.
Yeah, in limited play. He's super accurate. And he has some talented receivers. But he also turns the ball over, right? And it seemed like whenever they would do something good, he'd throw an interception or fumble. And that's bad, right? You can complete all the passes you want at a higher whatever clip, but if in the 30% of incomplete passes, one of them's an interception, or two of them are interceptions, that's not good. And that concerns me about them.
I mean, it is bad, sure, but it's a fixable problem, know? It's
Conference USA report. Same
thing with Mason Fine. He was throwing a lot of interceptions.
He threw like five.
No, the year before.
Oh, okay.
And then the following year, he threw
I was
five.
Like, man, what is your standard here? He threw two whole interceptions, this guy.
So in a one game.
Willy-nilly with the ball, this
but,
guy.
But, you know, Jake Abraham, I think, is a good piece to build around. Whether he is great or he's average, again, I'll use that word average.
Yeah,
with the talent of at wide receiver that they have, I think it'll be great. It's the running game that is the problem.
So, I mean, you can make this argument, right, that Quadra Griggs turned the ball over a lot, and I forget the other kid's name, but he turned the ball over a lot, the guy that Quadra Griggs was competing with last year. But they had some talent, and they can make some plays. You didn't love their completion percentage, but Jack Abraham is completing stuff, so that's good. But, you know, he's probably turning the ball over.
A lot of stuff, too.
You got Mosley back. Quez Watkins maybe kind of sort of going to be back.
Word from Coach Hobson is that he's on track.
Yeah, that's what he said.
It's not a yes, but it's on track.
So USM always has a solid defense, and they always it doesn't matter what. Hobson talked about their depth returning. They like a lot of their they bring a ton of guys back, and they like it. They like experience. They're going to be good. They're 6-5 last season. But they gave, like, North Texas a game, right? And they gave, they gave UAB a little bit of a game, if I remember right. I can't remember off the top of my head right now.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a close game at the end.
Yeah. So, I like them. I think they get North Texas at home. That's a big one. And if they win that, then anything can happen, as we kind of saw last season. It's UAB is down, and so then you look at maybe Tech as the other opponent, right? And if you can beat Louisiana Tech, or if Louisiana Tech slips up elsewhere, I can see Southern Miss in the West crown, with the West crown.
And I think the defense can help. If there's any, you know, problems on offense, the defense will come in and help them out, bail them out.
So the media picked Louisiana Tech number 3. I have them number 1. And again, this is me just looking at the coach and believing in the coach. They win every bowl game. What is it, five straight?
Something like that.
They eventually figure it out. They have a lot of talent. Amik Robertson's leading the defense again. Coach Skip Holtz talked a ton about Amik Robertson, how great of a worker he is, what a great attitude he has, how hard of a worker he is.
He's a good talent.
Yeah, they're 8-5 last season. Lose to LSU, UAB, and that was a tough game. USM, obviously, that was bad. Western Kentucky was a bad loss, too. 3 conference losses, and that was pretty terrible. But you beat North Texas at North Texas, you get North Texas at home.
My biggest question mark is, well, their defense might be good. Can they produce on offense?
Yeah. You go into a 3-4 defense. You got Bob Diaco out there coordinating it. You still have talent. They got the new, the nose guard is a new guy, right? Is it Courtney Wallace? Is it UConn transfer? You know, you go into 3-4, you need a space heater in there. But there's a lot of multiple looks here. It's not going to be just pure 3-4. It's going to be lots of stuff. Every team in this league has a multiple kind of defense, throws different looks at you. It will be interesting. I think they have talent defensively that can win them a game. And same way you said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what they did against North Texas last year.
Yeah. So they took a step back offensively because of their injuries and some poor play from quarterback. But you can also put that on the offensive line, right? It's hard to play amazing quarterback when you're
he's having to run around.
Yeah. So there you go. I like Louisiana Tech. I don't think they're going undefeated, but I think when the smoke settles, they're going to be the least dinged up, and they have the most talent.
I see talent. It. You know, great wide receiver core. Always have good stable of running backs. Quarterback position, he's awesome. I like him. I've always liked him since he was a freshman. But I think that the offense won't be good enough to propel them over teams like Southern Miss and North Texas.
Yeah, I mean, that's the question. Is that, like, North Texas has the most consistent offense, I think. But, you know, Southern Miss and Louisiana Tech, at their best, they can be the equal of North Texas. And on their day, Southern Miss can score. On their day, Louisiana Tech has talent to score.
And their defense can help them out.
Yeah. And so that's what I'm saying. It's like when North Texas is firing on all cylinders, they're going to score a lot of points. But what's the defense going to do, right?
Exactly.
So now you see why I dropped down to third. UAB, well-coached, good players, good talent, unproven talent. Tyler Johnson, experienced quarterback, but they don't have all those guys that were through the return, you know what I mean? So they're question marks in my mind. I mean,
yeah, and there are too many question marks there.
Look, last year's dominating UAB team that, like, pitched 3 shutouts, they lost to Coastal Carolina, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What is that? They lost in the final game to Middle Tennessee. What was that? They cost them a home game in the conference title game. So, you know, UAB was good. They were as good defensively as maybe FAU was 2 years ago, offensively.
Yeah, and I see that. And they just graduated too many players.
Yeah.
All those, you know, 5th, 6th, 7th-year seniors that transferred in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bill Clark doesn't have all those guys anymore. And he's having to replace these quickly. Tyler Johnston is going to do a good job. He was a better quarterback than Erdley was.
Yeah.
But Erdley just had more experience, and he's a good runner. Johnston is a great runner. But does he have the receivers there? Does he have the line there? And does he have the defense there? And I don't think they do.
Yeah, that's a big question for me. They got talent all over the place. Just can that talent turn that into, you know, what we saw? And I think they're going to look more like the UAB team of their first year back, where they were good, they ran the ball well. They're not that complete of a team, and like, their offense is not as explosive, even though they still got talent, right? They're returning, was it Parham, the receiver, but they lost a couple guys that were explosive back there. So finally, bottom half. UTSA, Rice, UTEP. UTSA, 3-9 last year. Terrible offense. They had basically no offense. They promoted from within. Jeff Castle's now their offensive coordinator, who's the QB coach. Frank Wilson talked him up. Talked about how he was the best hire because he was there. He kind of gave a little parable. Like, sometimes, you know, the best thing is right in front of you the whole time, and you had no idea.
Do we want to do all three at once?
Yeah, I mean, to me, look, we'll give the fans their due. Let's give them one individually. Okay. UTSA, for me, is number four. And basically, well, not number four, after U of A. It's UTSA, Rice, and UTEP. Rice and UTEP are equal to me. The media thought the same. So let's start with UTSA.
You know, Rice and UTEP might be equal, but I think they're better than UTSA.
Oh, man.
As good as their defense might be, you know, there's always question marks on offense.
Yes.
And they're bringing another offensive coordinator.
Yeah. I've been critical of Frank Wilson, and he came in. They've had the opposite careers, don't you think? Seth Attrell, Frank Wilson. Mm-hmm. Frank Wilson came in. This guy's going to leave for an SEC team, right? And Seth Attrell, they're like, who knows what this guy can do? You know, 4 years later, 5 years later, it's Frank Wilson.
Hot seat.
Why don't you have an offense, guy? Mm-hmm. And, you know, third offense coordinator in 3 years, right? And you know, Seth Attrell's like, well, you know, we just got to win the conference championship this year. That's our goal. And, you know, he might take a gig elsewhere, right? But once we can't give him any more raises, once we run out of money here in North Texas,
you can only extend a contract so much.
Yeah, that's the deal. So, Conference USA, we're going to lose Seth Luttrell, I think, in the very near future. And I think a lot of people thought that was going to be Frank Wilson going to be the guy going. What does that mean? That's just the fickle nature of this game. I don't believe in their offense. Frank Harris is a talented quarterback, but is he a conference championship-winning quarterback?
I mean, not yet. We haven't seen him play. We don't know. This will be his first real-time game experience because he tore an ACL last year. I like him a lot coming out of high school, but he's still recovering.
North Texas recruited him.
Yeah, right. North Texas recruited him. UTSA won the recruiting battle, but you know, this will be his first real game experience. This is his first time after recovering an ACL injury. Not saying he'll be bad, but there's a mental aspect to get over the injury.
Yeah.
So he's dealing with that as well. I think he'll be the bright spot in that offense. I don't know what to expect.
Well, I mean, QB battle might be Lowell Narcisse right now, right? The graduate transfer, or Cordell Grundy. Now, the big issue last year was that it was quarterback musical chairs, and every quarterback that had a good game also had a very terrible game to go with it. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, the thinking is that the preparation, the play calling Jeff Castle has there is going to translate into good stuff. The evidence you have to support that conclusion is that Jeff Castle produced the best offensive performance all year in the game against North Texas. They 300 yards, and they were basically one play away from beating North Texas at home. So there's something to like there. Their defense should be better. They're losing talented linebacker Josiah Tua Efo. They're losing a couple other guys. So they're still talented, right? I think Austin was the safety that was here today. I don't know what any of that means because they've had a good defense. But if your offense can't move the ball, it doesn't matter how good your defense plays.
Mm. It's harder for the defense to score points for you.
Yeah. And then on the other hand, and you know, like I could see it happening. I could see an offensive revolution producing a handful of wins. Right? They're not. No team in this league is that far behind any other team.
Yeah. There's a lot of parity. I mean, you know, even considering rebuilds like UTEP and Rice, we still talk about them. You know, maybe not being last.
Yeah, I mean North Texas. You know, to kind of complete this comparison, they were coming off a one-win season, and then they win five games the next year, right?
Becoming bowl eligible on a technicality, but they're still bowl eligible.
Yeah, so it can happen. It will happen. If somebody's going to surprise us. Charlotte last season was a big surprise.
I like Charlotte.
Okay, so now Rice. I have them kind of tied for bottom, but the media says that they're sixth. Where do you have Rice, and what do you think of them?
It's tough. At this point, comparing between Rice and UTEP. They're both in the second year of a rebuild, massive rebuild.
Yeah.
They both have similar offenses where they want to run the ball.
Yeah.
Both have question marks at quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So I have no idea where to put them.
Yeah.
I like the talent that Blomgren is bringing to Rice. I like the running back core that they've got. If the offensive line is there, they're going to run all over people, control the clock. I mean, even last year, as not great of a year as they'd had because of year one of rebuild, they still controlled the clock. I mean, fourth best, I think,
yeah,
because they were running the ball, because they're doing this West Coast offense of maintaining ball control. The only problem is lack of scoring. That's the only thing they have left is, yeah, is having the talent to score against these opponents. Their efficiency is not great, so if they bring in the talent to score on the offensive side of the ball, I think they'll be okay.
Yeah, we asked him, Mike Blomgren, like how well he did as a coach last year. And he gave himself, you know, he said, yeah, obviously he wants to win every game, but he thinks that they're doing the right things, they're on the right path. And they had a lot of young guys. I still think this thing pays off a little bit later. I like what they're doing. They just had a lot of young dudes. You can't have a lot of young dudes going up against UAB who had a lot of old dudes, right? They had like 24-year-olds going against 19-year-olds. I mean, that's not fair. So I think the future's for them. Let's transition into UTEP, right? Kyle Oxley is maybe out. He's pending a court case, so that's never good.
Pending,
right?
Yes.
You never want that to be the determinant of your season, right? Well, you know, if he gets a lenient sentence, then maybe, you know, whatever. So what I like about UTEP is that you could see pretty immediately what they want to be and what they want to do, right? It's Kansas State. And good and bad, right? They were clever and kind of frustrating on offense, where they know, you know, they want to run the ball, but dang it, how did they get that guy open, popped open for an easy fullback, mm-hmm, just a little fullback jump pass, and he's wide open and he gets 30 yards, right? It's a lot of what sometimes can be called junk plays, but they're smart, well-coached, well-scouted plays, right? The one that stands out to me in particular was the one I'm describing right now was UTEP. I watched the film against UTSA, and they run a play, and North Texas comes out, and they line up the same format. North Texas comes out the following week, and they are ready to stop that play. And UTEP had the counter for it, and they found the fullback wide open.
Open.
Yeah, so that tells you that they do a great job with analytics, right? They do a great, mm-hmm, job scouting. They know what they need to do, and then they execute it, right?
Those That's kinds good
of
coaching. Plays,
when you're evenly matched, those kinds of things can win you games.
Yeah, and it's frustrating because you're thinking about your team, like mine is North Texas. Yeah. Like, why can't we be doing that, you know?
Yeah.
And why are we struggling so much, like last year, against it? A team like UTEP, who's in year one of a rebuild versus year three in a rebuild.
And that's exactly what UTEP, I mean, UTEP, Manhattan, Kansas, is like the El Paso of Texas, I think, you know? And that you're like, where? Do I want to go out there? What is there, right? And so you're not going to always get all the talent out there. Whatever you get, you got to make the most of it. And that's why every once so often, Kansas State is great. But a lot of times, you're like in the middle. You hate playing them because they're frustrating. And you come away feeling angry.
They can,
like,
pull off an upset pretty easily.
Yeah, because if you're not paying attention. So I like what they are, but I think they're going to take a step back because they lost their two corners, like Nick Needham. Mm-hmm. Is an NFL-caliber dude. I think he's getting an NFL look. I forget if he got drafted or just got signed. But a lot of guys like him. A lot of scouts liked him. He was good. You could see that those guys helped UTEP stay in games that they shouldn't have been in, as you're talking about. So they're replacing him with who, right? Some JUCO guys, some new guys. My point is that UTEP had talent at the end of the Kugler era. It was there. Now it's graduated. So now it's kind of they're kind of starting at zero a little bit for me.
Yeah, I understand. But I like the running back, mm-hmm, at UTEP. I'm blanking on his name.
Quadri is Wadley.
Wadley, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And he's got an NFL talent there. So he can be, if they focus the ball game through him, which they won't. Dimmel said that they do a running back by committee approach,
yeah,
but if they focus the ball game through him, he can turn the game around if given the opportunity.
Wasn't that an interesting contrast that we asked Dimmel and then we asked Blomgren that same question back to back and they gave completely different answers?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, Blomgren's like, no, I like a bell cow, get 70% of the time, get the ball.
Yeah,
and then Dimmel's like, nah, running back by committee.
Yeah, and Blomgren is like, if we've got the guy, then give him the ball.
Yeah. I can see the benefit of doing both. You keep your guys fresh. You keep it. You change it up. But also, yeah, give your best guy. Let him build a rhythm and let him dominate.
And it's offensive philosophies as well. You know, the type of running backs that Dimmel has seen versus the type of running backs that Blumgren has seen is a world's different. Yeah, Bryce Lowe, Christian McCaffrey, Stephen Taylor.
Blumgren has seen guys that have been in the running for the Heisman Trophy, you know? So,
yeah
you give those guys a ball. that's it. That's it. That's a quick, super quick look at this. What was it, 20 minutes into this show? We're about to wrap it up, and I think ultimately none of my opinions changed from talking to these guys. Your favorite interview, was it Blumgren or Dimmel?
I think, I know this is only my second year doing this, but Dimmel is always my favorite.
Yeah.
Although
he recognized us, right?
He's
how's it going, guys? Yeah, so.
And so I give him kudos for that.
He gets some points. Blumgren was good again. I think he was a little bit more comfortable in his role.
For sure. Yeah, he was a little defensive last year.
Yeah,
he's like, he's bringing a philosophy, a West Coast run-first offense that he's having to defend in a league where there's spread offenses all over the place.
Yeah.
But it works if it's done well at the college level. Yeah. Dimmel, what I like about those two, Dimmel and Blumgren, is that they're not fans of coach speak in a way. I mean, Blumgren does do the coach speak, but both of them, you know, give you straight answers yes or no, or this or that.
What do we ask Dana Dimmel? We said, you know, how should we judge you on your first year, right? And he said, well, I think you judge a coach on the games he should win, right? And I was like, wow, that was pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. I wasn't expecting that. He's like, oh, I thought maybe, like, well, you know, just got to take each day.
You can take it one game at a time.
You know, speaking of, like, along those same lines, I thought that Seth Luttrell, you know, I think I've covered him at these things every year he's been in the league. He's gotten a lot better talking. He is reliant heavily on coach speak, but when you get him one-on-one, he's a little bit more candid.
He revealed a little bit more
X's and O's this time.
Right.
I think what was interesting, he said that he was going to put his stamp on the team a little bit more, that he was kind of itching to get back, and he said he was always overseeing and always had his input, but now he's going to have a little bit more of a stamp there.
But what does that mean?
To him, it's at more tight ends, and it's a little bit more tempo.
And more, I don't want to say running the ball, but at least more running back appearances.
Yeah, I think the takeaway is that, like, we always were wondering about this, that Seth Luttrell came from a Larry Fedora branch of the air raid, where there was a lot of running game, a lot of quarterback running.
Jumbo packages.
Yeah, and Graham Harrell obviously threw the ball like 70 times a game, right? So a little bit different philosophy. What we saw was a lot of throws from a lot of different looks for Mason Fine. And a lot of that was due to personnel. Also, North Texas' best player for a couple years there was the running back. So you can see kind of how it's a hybrid. I think we'll see a little bit more run-oriented stuff.
Yeah, more running from Bodie Reeder. He's always had, or he had a good running back in Eastern Washington, and he gave him over 200 touches. Torrey did not see 200 touches, but then he also didn't start for several games.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that does, and we'll see if Lauren easily gets eased back in.
Yeah. North Texas has a lot of running backs that are really good, easily. Mm-hmm.
A lot of pass game running backs. Torrey, Nick Smith, Evan Johnson.
I think they want to bring the physicality with the tight end, but that also allows them to do both. And that's what Seth Luttrell was talking about. He was saying, you know, we come out in this package with the tight end, Kelvin Smith, who's good passing, and he's big. He's good in the pass game, and he's big. And that you can throw it to any one of five guys, right? You got your Rico Bussey on the left. You got your, who's the other wide receiver? You got Darden out there, too. And then you got Kelvin Smith. You can throw it to any one of those guys. You can also throw it to the running back, right? Or you can line up and run at him with that same package. And that's what Seth Luttrell was saying that he liked. Again, it was great to hear him talk about this in press conferences and things. It's a little generic sometimes.
Exactly,
We're doing the one game at a time. Just get better every day, that kind of thing.
You got to be more consistent.
Yeah. So, Blumgren, demo, surprise of the day was Seth Luttrell.
Yeah, and then, you know, guys like Jay Hobson.
Yeah.
While they're, you can get good insight from them.
Yeah, stay with him for a while.
Ease him in.
You know who he loves to talk? Skip Holtz. He will be
he's such a nice guy. Yeah.
Yeah, he just. I asked him one thing, and he talked for like 10 minutes. I was like,
"What? Wasn't even a question."
What did Mick Robinson about that field goal? Yep, he did, and he told a story about him in the weight room or whatever. Good times. Like, I like a lot of these guys. You can see why they become head coaches, right? You have to, because you have to interact with so many people.
Yeah, and they said to themselves, you know, you might be at home. Latrell said this. You might be at home, and it's after dinner. You want to be with your family, but you're having to recruit 24/7. You're always having to go back to work when you're at home.
And so, you know, it's a tough gig. And, I mean, you can see why they get paid the big bucks, relatively speaking, for some of them. And then big bucks in certain cases. I think we're going to wrap this one up. That's 25 minutes for you. Tomorrow we'll come back. We'll do more of the same. It'll be Conference USA East tomorrow. Charlotte, who are you looking forward to speaking to tomorrow?
Not Lane Kiffin.
Look, Lane Kiffin has the biggest crowd always because he'll say some things, but sometimes some reporters try to bait him into saying.
Definitely.
They'll just try to say, like, hey, what do you think about Donald Trump, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, because he'll say something. But yeah, he's a low talker, man. You got
to
get.
You have to lean in because he's quiet.
Yeah, I don't even know if Mike picked up anything he said last time.
He looks
time.
Like he doesn't want to be there.
Yeah, he does. He does look like he doesn't want to be there. I just forgot his name. Bobby Wilder from Old Dominion. He's fun.
Butch Davis.
Yeah, Davis. He loves to talk. I want to get him and Skip Holtz talking together. See,
I think they're right over there.
Yeah. They were there for a second, gathering around, having a drink. We're gonna go get some food, ladies and gentlemen. And so, thanks for listening, Conference USA Report podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review. Thanks to Aldo Avina for joining me, and we'll see you tomorrow, man.
This was fun.